You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
Dr. Toby Saxham, our parenting expert, is still with me in studio. We're talking about resilience in children. We've had a potted history of where we get to, or how we have gotten, and how her profession has gotten to this line of thinking. We're going to boil it down now, though, Dr. Toby, to advice for parents. And I'm going to get that in a second, but one more broad question, first of all. When this applies for every child? Many children?
This applies. I think that because we don't know which children are going to experience stressful experiences, it's really important that every parent have an awareness of how to immunize their child against really stressful experiences. And building resilience is one of the ways of doing that. The other important point that I want to make here is that we now know through other researchers that resilience can change over time, that there are things you can do to increase resilience at any age. So many of the things that we're talking about will be very specific to kids because we're here in a parenting spot.
Of course, yeah.
But many of these are things that all of us can do to increase our own resilience and our own ability to roll with the punches when life comes along and deals us some difficulties.
You spoke about how the environment was a big factor in the studies that you referenced before the ads. That's much more, I presume, than having a home that's warm, and that's what people will think of. What are the main factors there, and what should people be keeping in mind?
Well, in addition to sort of the safety issues, such as having a warm home and those kinds of things, we would look at two categories of environmental factors that are really significant. One has to do with the kinds of relationships you have, in particular relationships that you have with adults as a child. And the other has to do with how you experience normal levels of stress and how the experiences you have that help you with that. So in terms of relationships, there's two types of relationships I think it's important to look at. One is by far the most robust, the most important finding in terms of resilience in kids is that the kids who are most resilient are those who have at least one very supportive adult in their life on a stable basis. And if kids are lucky, that person is a parent or someone who lives with them in their home.
Sure. Most parents will know that, though, that they should be supportive and loving of their children.
Exactly. So I think it's important to understand, well, why is that so important? How does that buffer kids against stress? And also it's important to realize that some kids who have challenging environments, it's because they don't have a parent in the house with them, or they don't have two parents in the house with them, or they have a parent who might not be available because they have mental health difficulties or addiction problems. So if they don't have a parent, it's really important that they have somebody, ideally somebody for a long period of time, as opposed to somebody for a few weeks and somebody else for a few weeks. But the reason that it's so important to have a stable adult in your life, well, there are quite a few reasons, but one is because it's somebody who responds to you. It's somebody who, when you say something, they say something back. It's somebody who notices you. And one of the ways that we learn about ourselves, including what we're capable of and what our strengths are and what we can do well, is through the eyes of other people. And if there's somebody who is with us all the time and says to us, I noticed you got 9 questions right on your spelling test, and last week you only got 7 right. That's really an improvement. By having somebody who notices that, we see ourselves as somebody who is able to improve.
So distilling that advice, be a good parent. I don't want to be flippant, but that is kind of be supportive of your child, pay attention to them,
have a relationship with them.
I mean, that's parenting 101.
It's parenting 101, and I think we all need to be reminded of it sometimes.
That's fair. No, I'm not disagreeing with that.
And I also think that even though it seems very basic, it isn't for everyone. You know, parents are busy. You know, parents, I think sometimes they feel like if they can get socks on their kid in the morning, they're doing their job. But it's really important to just have a constant awareness that it's not just the physical care of your kids, it's the reacting to them, the responding to them, noticing what they're wearing, noticing, you know, how they're doing, noticing, you know, what is a struggle for them, what do they need, what are they doing right, noticing what they're doing well, and noticing what are the situations they struggle with and what kind of help can they...
So kind of being being supportive, basically, going back to that term.
Yeah.
You talked about relationships with others as well.
Yeah.
And obviously, we can't influence this. Maybe we can influence it as a parent, but we should be supporting that too. What do you mean exactly?
What I mean is that that kids have interactions with a lot of adults on a regular basis, and that all of us who interact with kids in any way have an opportunity to influence their ability to cope with the world. And we do that through our relationships, however casual they are. You might be able to remember times when you were a child, and maybe it was the first time that your football coach stopped you and said, "So, how was your school tour this week, Gavin?" You know, or even uses your first name, or if you go to the shop and the shopkeeper knows that your name is Tommy and that you like turkey rolls. You know, so having the adults in our life notice us, pay attention to us, ask us questions, be kind, be patient, be respectful in the way they interact with us. All of that is something that all of us can do to make a huge difference in people's lives.
That sounds like a teacher, in the main.
Teachers, absolutely.
Because they spend
other than parents,
so much time with their children, you know?
Other than parents, teachers are the ones who spend the most time with kids. We also have childminders, whether that's within the family. It can be a relative, it could be at a creche, it could be a neighbor. So anyone who spends significant time with a child really has an opportunity and a responsibility to look at the way they interact with that child and try to help them.
When we're talking about environmental factors away from those relationships, what else is important in your eyes?
Well, some of the things we know is that opportunities for participation is huge. So the kids who are the most resilient are the kids who have a chance to play sports or have a chance to join a chess club or a drama group or get music lessons, you know, those kinds of things. So the opportunities for an encouragement to participate in things can be a massive help. So can having, and this is something that parents probably need to spend some time thinking about, the way that kids deal with day-to-day stress, the way that they manage manageable levels, normal levels of stress, can have a massive impact on how they deal with stress when big-ticket items come along. The ways that we do this, well, first of all, what is normal stress?
Yeah.
And I don't think we have to go looking for it. We don't have to go find ways of stressing our kids. They are already stressed by things like schoolwork or Johnny on the playground won't let me go on the slide or my teacher is in a bad mood today. You know, so those kinds of stresses. And the things that parents can do to help their kids deal with those largely involve listening to kids, being supporting them, being empathic about it, but not trying to overprotect them from that.
Okay.
So if Johnny on the playground won't let you on the slide, rather than going over there and having a big fight with Johnny's mother, listen to him and say, that's too bad. Johnny won't let you on the slide. What can you do? And encourage him to try to learn ways of solving problems.
Okay. So just empower them or put them in a position to do it themselves,
exactly,
look after it.
Yeah.
Don't mollycoddle. Basically,
don't mollycoddle.
And say be nice and don't mollycoddle is what you said in the last 5 minutes, but that is the summary.
Don't mollycoddle, but also don't humiliate them, don't demean them, don't say grow up, get over it. Be empathic and understanding, but also expect them to be able to learn to solve
problems.
Before
we move on, you talked about participation, clubs, sporting events, that sort of stuff. If your child is hesitant to do that, should you encourage, dare I say, should you push them towards it?
If kids are hesitant to do that, it's very often because they're worried and they're giving themselves negative messages about things. They're telling themselves, oh, it's going to be scary or it's going to be difficult. And that brings us on to what some of the psychological factors are that improve resilience, and that has to do with how you think and what you do. And one of the things that we know about kids is that the kids who are most likely to thrive and succeed even when things are difficult, are those who believe that they can solve their own problems. You know, the kids who believe that if something happens, they'll either be able to solve it and fix it and change it, or they'll just be able to deal with it and cope with it and tolerate it. You know, so there are things that parents can do in terms of influencing that. They can look out for things that are called thinking traps. You know, so and you can Google thinking traps, and you'll see a whole load of them. So kids who think nothing's ever fair. I never
yes,
do okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All of those ways
not
of thinking
kids, but yeah.
that all of us, yes, I said this applies to,
I
to many
fair,
of us.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. So by teaching kids to be aware of thinking traps, it makes it more likely that they will be willing to join the team or go mm-hmm. to drama or those other things. So that's something to look out for.
Okay, so just kind of, again, you're instilling in the way that we talked about dealing with the pressure when Johnny's jumping in front of the slide.
Yeah.
You're instilling kind of coping mechanisms
yeah.
with him.
And if I can just say one other thing that affects resilience in terms of the way kids think is that it's not always just what happens to us, but what we tell ourselves about that. So a child can feel traumatized about something that isn't at all dangerous. So you could have a child who is sent away to summer camp for a week and experiences that as horrible, largely because they're telling themselves, oh, I can't do this, this is terrible, something bad is going to happen. And you might have another child who experiences something that any of us would agree is genuinely difficult, whether it is a divorce or mobility issues
like that, yeah.
or bereavement. And if those kids tell themselves, oh, it's really unfortunate this happens, I wonder what I'm going to do next about this, that child will do better than the child who okay. had the lesser problem.
Really quickly, because I'm already out of time, but
yeah.
a listener's been in touch. We talked about the importance of relationships, not just with parents, but with others, and I mentioned
yeah.
teachers. And I think it's a fair question. How can any teacher know what a child's circumstances are, particularly in a large school in a town or a city? You can't probe. It's not right to put a child under stress like that unless the parents tell you you're in the dark.
That's actually, I'm really delighted with that question, because the reality is that when we were focusing on what was wrong with the child's circumstances, we were not solving problems. When we stopped focusing on that and looking, what are these child's strengths? How can I help this child to think positively? How can I help this child participate? How can I help this child make the best use of their gifts? Then you make progress. So the answer is you don't need to find out the circumstances. You're right. It's not something that you have necessarily the right, or even it's not even necessary. What you need to be looking at is, how is this child here? How can I help this child learn how to solve problems, learn how to tolerate stress? How can I help them learn how to do relaxation okay. exercises, skill building?
Fair enough. Dr. Toby Saxemeyer, appreciate your time. See you soon. Thanks
Thank
for joining you. Us this morning.
You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 midday.